Transformation. Being transformed. I can only speak from experience, and I'm only 32, but I've had experiences with it in good ways and bad ways. First time I met Jesus, you know the feeling you get, the weight is off your shoulders, you're saved, you're on fire, and you're on fire for a certain amount of time, especially when you don't really get the right teaching afterwards. And what happened was, it's just, I was in high school happened, and I didn't feel like I was good enough, just because the preaching, the word that I heard was mostly, do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. And I thought, man, I'm already failed at this. I've already done all that. There's another transformation. It's not the victorious kind. It's when your mind is being transformed into the world thinking, which I went through. A little bit over a year. You see Ben and I here now, and you wouldn't think, but I was on my way to Canada, and he was gonna stay in Delta. That was us. You know, the transformation is real. We're here right now. I love Ben. He kept on speaking to me how what a virtuous woman I was through all my bad habits and all that, and I just wanted to shut up really because I didn't want to hear it. But he pressed on and kept on telling me who I was, and I began to walk in that. At least I hope I am. I mean, I'm here. And I actually found something. I was in the airplane, and I was a little bit like, what am I going to say? I mean, I was a lot like, what am I going to speak about? And then I was looking through some stuff when I was going through my troubled days, and I had written something, and I just wanted to share it with you guys. Actually, I think God wanted me to share it with you guys, because I was like, I'm not going to share that. But it's, I titled it Recovery of a Sinner Like Me. Hope you don't mind. Okay. The recovery of a sinner like me. I question if it's even a possibility. A sinner, not a victim, I played the role of an enemy. The havoc, like tornado, left everything torn as far as the eye could see. A bitter, unforgiving soul justifying the hate in me. The road looked impossible, the journey unattainable, the audacity to stay in this place. Why stay here? I can't even look at myself in the face. The shame, the guilt, how could I let it get this far? I just wanted to try a taste. What could have been the harm? Now a heavy set of chains I carry on my arms. The sins committed began to embed its character in my heart, losing my identity as that of a lost ancient art, fueling the desire the world has tempted me, looking for love, a fatherless child was me. The excuse, I didn't choose this for me. The reasoning, what harm could there possibly be? The pain, the strain of being okay with each passing day. The disappointment, the distance between me and Jersey grew farther away. the helplessness of my husband, who could not, even with all his might, take back the love he gave. The hardening of my heart as I continued to misbehave. The silence of the Holy Spirit as he had over and over spoken the words to say. For the same questions I kept asking, just that the answer didn't go my way. The recovery, God help me, deal with me harshly. Actually, I asked for him to please deal with me gently. Repentance, the key, the beginning of a new journey. Forgiveness, the means, the way Jesus lived daily. Surrender, God, I surrender. Please come help me. I don't know how to change, but I know the Holy Spirit can change me. Sometimes the walk is hard, but I know I just have to trust in thee. The more I pray, the less I worry, because I know that you are with me. The road to recovery, becoming a great adventure, with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit as my mentors. This little light of mine, my Savior, ignites the fire. Sparks now flying for my new awakening desire. The recovery of a sinner is possible for you and me. And forgiveness and repentance through Jesus Christ, I am free. Okay, so transformation. I owe God my life. You know, repentance without change is not repentance. You can say whatever it is you want to say, but until you actually put action to it, doesn't really count. You know, people talk. I hear preachers say, like, don't do this, do that, but I want to know how you do that. How is it? You say, don't cuss. It's like, oh man, what happens when you have a stub your toe, or like your kid runs in the middle of the street, or just something happens and you just caught off guard? It happens. We were driving home from church, and I was just very peaceful driving. I was like, this is a great day. My daughter, Jersey, had my youngest daughter in the back of an ATV, and I told not to go too fast, and she just went fast, and they flew off, and I was just like, I don't know what happened, but something just, like, sparked this anger. I was like, oh my gosh, and I just flipped out, you know? I flipped out. I couldn't stop myself. I was just freaking out. I thought I had lost them. You know, my daughter, she was distraught that I freaked out at her, and I knew I had done a bad thing, just freaking out at somebody that did that, you know, instead of asking if they were hurt or not. But the point is that when you find yourself in that place and you know you did something that you shouldn't have done, I had to make a choice, either take my pride or tell her what's really on my heart, you know. This summer, I had lost my grandpa, my dad, and my grandma. And just thinking about them being God, just, you know, I didn't have any feelings that deep, because I didn't really know my dad that well, either my grandma or my grandpa. But and just the thought of, you know, my kids, like, being God, I reacted way differently than hearing about my dad and my grandparents. And I told her, you know, I can live with them being gone. Like, I can't lose you, you know? I can't lose you. I can't lose you guys. I couldn't handle that. I can handle those other things, you know, but I can't handle that, so that's the only reason. And I'm sorry I freaked out on you, but that's the only reason. I just lie. I love you. Hold on. I don't know where my notes went. God's given me a word. Me and Ben, we went to Art Mathias in Anchorage. That was intense. It's about forgiving and repentance, which the first week is school, so you learn about it. The second week is actively forgiving and repenting, which means you had to go through everything, all your issues, which nobody wants to air out, and we had to actually go through it. It was painful and freeing at the same time, you know, kind of like this. This painful, but are you guys in pain too? Okay. This was going a lot smoother in my head when I had my eyes closed and in bed. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna talk about this. And then I'm like, over my eyes, like, oh, blah. So, transformation, after you get saved and, you know, there's the point where you turn your life back to God. Amen. I hope everybody's doing that. Oh, Lord, I wish somebody had told me this in the beginning when I first accepted Jesus. There's going to be a lot of pruning, and it's painful, and it's a lot of struggling. You know, even Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. I wish I read that part right after I accepted him in my heart. Then I could have been like, yay, that's going to happen. And my relationship has developed a lot, knowing God and how great he is. And he's got a sense of humor, like Nancy was saying. My dad passed away. That's not the funny thing. My dad passed away this summer, and it was a shock. He was shot. He was murdered. He lived in the Philippines. I live in Canada. I didn't really know him that well, but, you know, I was hoping to really get to know him. I'm kind of bummed me out that he passed away so sudden. Last point of hope, Nancy had told me I was going to connect with my dad. And I got excited. I'm like, okay, I think I'm ready. I'm mature enough, and I can carry a conversation. I can practice my language, and it'll be good. And then I heard about his passing, and then I was thinking, I thought I was going to connect with him. And so I went to the Philippines. I wasn't planning on going to the Philippines. I went to go to the Philippines, and I'm already scared. I haven't been there in almost 10 years. I hear all these bad stuff that's going on, and I'm going there by myself, you know. Well, I'm meeting my sister there, but anyways. So my travel plans, my plane was back to back. I was landing while my other plane was boarding, and I was freaking out, and I was like, God, how is this going to work? And I tried to take matters into my own hand. I called the stewardess. I'm like, stewardess, this is my flight. Where's the gate so I can go to it right when I get off? Just like, oh, you'll be fine. The gate is just right there. So I get off the plane, and I read my ticket. I run. It wasn't the ticket gate number that I said wasn't just right there. It was all the way over there, half a mile, and I'm already like, it was already boarding. So I'm running my luggage, lost the handle. I tied my shirt to it, so it was like rolling all around. And I'm running, and everybody's just watching me. I was like, I don't care. I can't miss my flight. When I get there, I saw that my plane gate had changed to the one right beside the gate where I got off. I was like, are you kidding me? So I like bust running, and I run back, and they're just like, oh, that's okay. Your plane is late. I was like, God, you let me run back and forth all that? I gotta trust you more, you know? So I had a second plane to catch. This time, like, they were both back-to-back. This time, this plane was late. So I'm like, okay, I have another problem now. My plane is late going in. So I'm definitely going to miss this flight. So I'm like, in the plane, I'm like frantic and texting my mom. My mom's like, oh, make sure you tell this stewardess, okay? She paid for the ticket. She doesn't want her money to go to waste, I'm sure. But make sure you tell the stewardess. I was like, finally, I was just like, I hate feeling like this. It's like, I should not be frantic. Like, God would not want me to be frantic. I know God is with me. I know God is with me. So I started praying. It's like, God, like, what should I do? What should I do? And me and Karen and another lady at our church, we do Bible study. I remember asking them this question. I asked them, you guys, what would you do if God told you that you're going to cross a minefield, okay? It's a mile long. It's a minefield. You don't know where it is. And you have to go to the other side. But he told you that you were going to be okay. Like, how would you walk through that minefield? And that question popped back in my head, and I felt like I'm in that same situation where I was like, okay, God said I was going to make it in the Philippines just fine. He's going to take care of me just fine. So am I going to walk through this worry, fear, anxiety, or am I just going to trust him? So I'm like, I'm going to try the other way, because the other way made me run back and forth with my luggage, like, swirling all around. So I think this might be better. And texted my mom, like, I'm not going to do that, Mom, you know, that's okay. I'm just going to trust the Lord. So I got there, and, you know, I actually had an hour to relax. I was like, man, I should have done that the first time. That would have been a lot better than this. God is very, very, he's got a sense of humor. It's like, okay, I get your point. It's real. It's everyday situation. We come up with all these, tribulations come, just like Jesus said, you know, and how are we going to face it? He says, to take heart. I have overcome the world. And that's where I want to be, walking with God, developing my relationship with him, because that's what it's all about. Now, after you've turned your life, choose God, there's another step to it. It doesn't end just there. It doesn't end there. There's so much more pruning and learning and adventures, and in the beginning there's a lot of pain, but later on it's like, it's fulfilling and you can't get enough of it. You start to yearn. Instead of wanting to just avoid it, you run to it. It's a sanctification. That's where we're at now. For you guys who've chosen Jesus already, there's a sanctification process, and it's an adventure. It's actually wonderful. You know, I had been trying to avoid it. Like Nancy said, she talked to me about this for a while, and I've been running. This book, Secrets of the Vine. So, let's see, about 12 years ago, 13 years ago, me and Ben, we were living in the basement of Mom and Dad. And I was just minding my own business, and I come across this. I read something in it that I really wish I hadn't read. Talked about discipleship, bearing good fruit, and how the bad fruit would be, if you don't bear fruit, you'd be taken up. And I didn't want, I'm so shy, you guys, like, no other. Like, when I met Ben, he had to force me to talk to people. I was uncomfortable, kinda like I am right now. But, oh, okay, let's work through it. Okay. So, I read this passage, and then I kind of panicked in my mind, and I shut the book like this and pretend I didn't see it. It's like I didn't see that. I didn't read that. I act like, because I knew it was true in my heart, and I hear so much confirmation, and I read it in the Bible, and I didn't like what it said, because I didn't want to get out of my shell. I didn't like talking to people. I didn't feel comfortable talking about something that I hardly even knew anything about. So I kept on avoiding that. And then Nancy came, and she told me all this stuff, and it's just like, and then this book like came back in my mind. I was like, no. But okay, you know, after you've been through and seen how what the other life is like and how bad it is, how much it takes you away from God, you get an appreciation for the real word. Oh, I'm going to read you one more thing. This is something else I wrote maybe last year. So this is, I was having a hard time. I knew what God had for me. It's much greater than what I had for myself, and I was struggling. My flesh did not want it. I was fighting my spirit, but I knew God's gonna win over my life. But here's the struggle. I titled it The Precipice because it sounded cool, I guess. I don't know. I'm standing on the edge. I have to jump to keep going forward toward my goal. I'm scared of not knowing what's out there. I look back and find comfort in what's familiar. I look back and see the things I've used to feel good. I have an urge to go back to what I've known to do, back to the things that gave instant gratification. But those things never lasted, a distraction that held me back, that kept me from jumping to my destiny. Everyone is scared to make that jump. Doubt starts to creep in. If we pay close enough attention to the lies, disguised as truths, it begins to torment. But I'm at this point right now when flesh and spirit vie for my attention. Flesh is easily more tangible. Spirit seems unnatural, but what I want is more. I already know what happens if I go back. I already know the feelings, good and bad. I believe there's more. I believe Jesus won't fail me. I believe there's something greater out there, something so great that the reason I can't see is because it is unimaginable, an incredible gift from God, and it'll bring me more purpose, happiness, joy, peace, belonging, and challenges. And most importantly, it'll bring me closer to God. So I'm just here, stepping out. I make sure I have time for band. And there was a lot more in my head, but I guess this is what the Holy Spirit wanted out. Amen. Good.
Huh? You done?
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun. You guys hear me? So I can walk anywhere I want, you can hear me. That's awesome. I just want some water, but I was just making sure you could hear me. All right, well, Boda said most of everything, which is awesome for me. She kept asking me, you know, hey, are you ready? Are you ready? I'm like, yeah, I'm ready. And she's like, well, I haven't seen you do anything or read or study or anything. I'm like, oh, you'll see. She's been studying a little behind off, like just in the Bible, reading, praying, getting up early, 3 o'clock in the morning, just I'm going to work at like 5. She's reading the Bible. It's like, well, how are your notes coming along? They're doing good, but I'm just not sure. I'm like, oh, you'll see. And sure enough, he took over. I'm going to be pretty quick. Transformation in us. Well, what Bonin didn't know at the time, last conference we went to, after we got back, I was at work, and I was in the bathroom. I pray a lot in the bathroom. There's a mirror there, so I feel closer to God. I don't know why. In his image, the whole thing, I guess. So I was praying, and I was like, God, you know, I really want to do a workshop with my wife. You know, I don't know where she's at, but I want it. It's a selfish thing. I want it for me. And, you know, I figured this was going to be eventually, you know, 5 or 6 years down the road, eventually, you know. So, like, 4 days later, Nancy called and asked her to be in the workshop. I was like, okay, that's fast. You're welcome. All right, up top. Okay, so, but I was talking about how transformation feels in an individual. Well, God has also been working on me as well. And like she said, we've been through some difficult times. God has really challenged me specifically, and he prepared me for these times before the times came. We always don't know what's coming, but God does. He says, I will never leave you ignorant for the enemy's devices, okay? And he loves me. So he pre-prepared me. I had been doing a lot of studying on spiritual warfare, the armor of God, what to do, and I've been spending a lot of time in prayer. And one of the things he told me is, hey, you know, I got to completely start over with your wife. I'm going to take her to the bottom. I got to build her back up. That's how this has to work. He's like, but there's one thing you've never asked me for. He's like, you asked me to, for the physical features of the wife that you wanted. You've never asked me for what you want inside. What do you want? I was like, well, okay. I just, you know how when you're ready to ask God a question and just so happened, like 5 minutes later, you read something in the Bible and that happens to be the answer to the question that you're asking him? He kind of put it there. Well, that's what happened with me. I ran on the virtuous woman. And I was like, well, that's what I want. He says, okay, are you sure? It's like, yeah, that's what I want. He's like, okay. Well, it's going to require of you. If this is what you want. I said, okay. How hard could it be? Well. So God started working on me. He promised to give me a virtuous woman. What he did not tell me is how long. He did not tell me what the challenges I was going to have to face to get there. Okay? So, everything began. My wife decided, you know what? We're not quitters. Let's do what we can do. Let's go to God. So that's what we did. Through that, God requires of me, I'm the head of my household, okay? Which means it's my responsibility to stay in tune with God. It's my responsibility to uplift my family. In this case is my wife. I have to see who she is. I have to separate who she is from the things I don't like that she has done or maybe said, okay? That is painful. Because if we do not, as head of our households, if we cannot see God's perspective in an individual, we lose the beauty of what God's done, and we can only see the dirt and what Satan's trying to do. Because remember, he's a mimic. He'll take the beautiful statue that God created, and he'll throw mud on it, right? If you don't ask God to see the design, what's underneath the mud, the design of the statue, you'll throw it away as garbage, but it's not. It just needs to be cleaned off. But that still takes something I don't believe that we were built with. I'll be honest with you. So the time came, and Holy Spirit pulls me aside, and he says, all right, what are you going to do? For the first time in my life, I felt I was not equipped to make a choice. I was too hurt, and I was too unsure what comes next to make a choice, but I knew something. The Bible says every great man, every king has great counsel, right? All right. Bible also says a son will leave his mother and father and cling to his wife. So it was time for me to grow up. I had to no longer depend solely on the gifting of my mom and dad, spiritually as they are. I had to make a choice for myself. So that's what I did. After I asked God for a virtuous woman, pain came, and I knew I needed help. I said, I want to forgive God. So I did it the way that I thought it should be done. A week into it, I realized, I'm not doing this right. See, if somebody does something to you, right, and you say, I forgive you, and later on, you bring it back up, are they going to feel forgiven? No. Matter of fact, you're burying them deeper than they were before. They can't move, especially if they want to do what's right. You're just burying them. That's what I was doing. And I said, Father, I'm not doing this right, and I don't know how to do this right. So he gave me a little song about it. So I memorized it to remind myself. I'm going to do it now, a cappella style, because this is what I quote over and over to myself to remind myself of where I'm at. That's how it goes. Bona, midnight coma, I'm supposed to be a soldier, the one born to hold you, I owe you. Bona, midnight coma, I'm supposed to be a soldier, the one born to hold you, I owe you. Whew. Brackets, lost words and tactics, I'm spitting out factors, that just won't hack it. My words put you in a straitjacket, I owe you. Less words to show you, my actions don't control you, situations that grow you, God told you and he knows you. My antics, broken trust like cancer sticks. My words of venom that inflicts. Snake bit, antidote, been a bona, we're not sick. My semantics, meaningless hand tricks. At times my mind is frantic, caught up in a sandpit. This ain't it. Your tears represent years of overcoming your fears in spite of your peers. Now that's legit, I'm saying. Better yet, I'm praying that these words that I'm laying hit you in the heart, for that's where I'm aiming, amen. Bona, midnight coma. I'm supposed to be a soldier, born to hold you, I owe you. Bona, midnight coma. I'm supposed to be a soldier, the one born to hold you, I owe you. I'm sorry, just won't pardon me. My philosophy is my penalty. It's egregious, the words I've used against thee, the fee too high to be paid by me. The answer, quota, banter, I can't recant the rant. Judgment stamped, it's a jail cell for me. You owe me, bona, a lie to you, my homie. The jailer won't show me sunshine. No keys for me. The old me snuck in and drove me. And now I'm lonely, and it's all on me. I'm hoping your heart will open, offer forgiveness, and set me free until I'm stuck in prison. My eyes have risen. I hope it's you. The sound I'm hearing coming for me. Bona, midnight coma. I'm supposed to be a soldier. The one born to hold you. I owe you. Bona, midnight coma. I'm supposed to be a soldier, the one born to hold you, I owe you. What's worse is, this is not the first curse that I've rehearsed and laid at your feet. This verse has been regurgitated and immersed, twisted and rebirthed like a body dug up and put in a hearse. Bend that memories don't keep. The truth is, my words are useless without the usage of your heart set free. The proof is, a wedding band is toothless without the courage to chew this. This banquet of thee in my tummy is rumbling for the honey that comes when you love me, that at times I forget to see. So please, Father, please forgive me. The judge will hear thee, no longer fear me. Command the jailer, the one with the keys, and set me free. Bona, midnight coma, I'm supposed to be a soldier. The one born to hold you, I owe you. So, God gave me that. I have no more excuses now. That's what that means. Every time something happens that I remember, or not to my liking, now God has given me a stop sign. You know how not to act. And every time you act unaccordingly with my will, with my daughter, you're putting yourself in prison. Okay? Tim, last workshop we were in? Tom was talking about the mind. You get trapped in the mind, you know what I'm saying? And I was. So, then God brought me back to the beginning. He said, son, you asked for a virtuous woman. This is what you asked me for, okay? So then I'm like, okay, well, what do I do? He's like, repentance. I'm like, well, me? Me? He's like, yeah, the goodness of God brings you to repentance, okay? So the song he gave me was reminding me of the things I was doing that wasn't good and how I was treating his daughter. See, he said, hey, she was my daughter before she was ever your wife. How would you treat your daughter? Jersey, who you love, I know you love Jersey, and Justice and Benjamin. When they mess up, what do? Do you forgive them? Or do you hold them in captivity? Well, forgive them. How? They're my kid. She's my kid. Now, turn that up a million notches. That's how I feel. Cool. I was like, well, God, what do I do? He's like, you need to repent first. You want this to get right? Me and you got to get right. We're not right. So, once again, he gave me another ditty. This is called the Garden of Gethsemane, because you guys, where I was, I knew I had to fight, and it wasn't against my wife, it wasn't against the pain, it was against me. It came time to fight me, and I didn't realize how stubborn I was, okay? But time came, and if you could say the battle lines were drawn. And so I had to make a choice. I had to either surrender or stay where I was. And where I was not uplifting the family that God gave me, and it was not being a good example of God himself. Okay, so this is called the Garden of Gethsemane. Okay, here we go. The Garden of Gethsemane. The garden of memories, the garden of Gethsemane, the day you breathed this moment into me. How did I know, Gethsemane? How could you show that what you mean to me? Meekness now befriending me, Gethsemane, Gethsemane, Gethsemane. After that, how did you still choose to die for me? My mistakes are thankless. My patience is like a homemaker in a kitchen baking without ingredients. All you ever asked for me is obedience. But here I sit sobbing, forgetting my insistence. Forgive me for my tears. I thank you for the years. I thank you for every moment in my heart breaks and my extinguished fears. I know they're laughing at me. I feel the words exactly. But your focus never wavered, and that's exactly the fact that grace impacts me. I'm weak, but you're stronger than the packs of them laughing at me. Inside, it makes me happy. I guess emotionally I'm sappy, but who cares? I'm happy. Who cares if their stares are fixed at me? You're stronger than the power of them. Benjamin, the right hand of the sun given. Who cares? Who cares how I'm received? You're in me. My enemies hate me. I'm blessed because you allow them to touch me. For I know that's the reason you trust me. The reason you trust me. So, in this, realization hit. Last workshop, he spoke of trouble comes. God says, this one can handle it. In this case, Bona needed to see somebody love her, okay? God needed to teach me how to love somebody. Perfect pair. I need to learn how to love. She needed to be loved, okay? So what did God do? He said, all right, what can I do to mix this up? No, Ben's got to cry. You know, if he don't cry, he ain't doing nothing. So he got to cry. Bone needs to be loved. Okay, we got it. Threw us in the pot. God told me that I needed to go read 1 Corinthians 13 again. On love, kindness, meekness, long-suffering. Love suffers all. Once I looked at 1 Corinthians 13 again and then looked at my actions, I saw my flaw. And my flaw was the fact I did not have the capability in myself, again, to do this correctly. My best attempts didn't last all day. They would only last a little bit. A little bit at a time. That's not what she needed. She needed love. Agape love. Consistent love. And I needed to learn how to give that. So I went back to the Father, And I said, okay, I'm ready. What do I do? And he said, nothing. Huh? Nothing. Don't want you to do nothing. I'm going to have to do some stuff, though, inside of you. You going to be okay with that? Well, do I have a choice? Yeah, you can continue doing what you're doing. I was like, no, that's not, no. No, yes, you can do what you got to do. He said, okay. This is what that felt like. All right. Gave me another poem. He talks me in poems a lot. Just throwing it out there. So, all right. The pain, stories told in days of old, at the cross, all the loss, all was lost. Who's the boss? So much frost. The price forgiven, the cost, Christ, in his hands were driven. Nailed so his people, us, could keep on living. But live forgiven, learn to live without sinning. Learn to forgive, in my heart, forgiveness is winning. My struggle comes to not you, not me, not what I fight through. My anguish is no longer aimed at you. It's insane what the pain will do. It's incalculable what pain can cause one to spew. Your fame, Heavenly Father, makes me run to you. I'm drawn to the flame that makes you you. I'm drawn from the shame of leading without you. Yellow, my favorite color, but the anointing's blue. Who knew that the blue sky is a reflection of you? Who knew in my heart what I'm put here to do? I cry tears, you count them, your word is true. All my fears without them, what would I mean to you? All these years without them, could I still sing to you? This gift you're given, I cling to you. The measure delivered, deciphered a piece of you. When it first hit, my emotions skewed. But now I sit here, my focus glued. Glued to view, I do what you do. The clues ensued, the hurt is news. When the pain stuck, I used to bruise. The pain's tough, I have to pay my dues. Walking on water, my gaze fixed to you. No questions, why bother? My choice is to choose. You called my father, waiting on instructions, peace infused. This time, I went to work. That's what I do, pay the bills. Saw one of a coworker coming out. I seen this guy every day for like 3 years. I mean, I know him, but I don't know him. I'm just having a bad day, get to work. Just been crying all the way in, between me and you. I see him coming, and for some reason, just like attraction, like a fly to whatever flies are attracted to. So he's coming, and I walk up to him, like, listen, bruh, stop. I grabbed him, psh, he's probably like that tall. Stop. He's like, Ben, what? I'm like, man, I know what situation you're in, homie. I'm in the same one. What are you going to do about it? Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, okay, I'm not giving up on you. Next day, the same thing. Next day, same thing. Next day, same thing. Well, eventually, God being God, he began to incorporate in me the ability to love correctly. Okay? The Bible says, I'm going to paraphrase this because I don't have it written down here. The Bible says, those who are spiritually mature, when your brother falls, you build them back up in kindness, gentleness, pretty much quotes 1 Corinthians 13. Meekness, humbleness, okay? So, I've always considered myself spiritually mature. So when I read that, I was like, uh-oh, there's a requirement for this. If I'm spiritually mature, then the love God is teaching me coincides with what my wife needs, okay? She needs a strong man. You would ask me before all this what a strong man is. I'm like, well, somebody who can physically protect her, provide for her. If there's a problem, fix the problem. That's really not on the God's list of things. I mean, yes, we're supposed to provide and protect, yes. But the most important things are, what's a strong man? A strong man is saying, hey, you didn't make this mistake because you had the ability in yourself and you had all the answers and you pushed them aside. You made this mistake because you didn't have all the answers, because this is what you knew. And to see that, strong man says, you know what, at one time somebody taught me, I'm going to teach you. And not to look at where somebody had been, but to pull them where they're going. Okay? Strong man says, you need my help because I'm capable of helping you because God's helping me. I'm going to give away what God gave me because I see where you are. I see what you're going to be. Okay? Yeah. Strong man says, in spite of everybody else. We're going to make it. You know? Strong man will carry on his back what needs to be carried. Strong man is willing to defend even though he's hurt. In other words, if we have a disagreement, you know, she gets me good for some reason, you know, and I'm offended by her, but yet somebody else comes to side with me, but to speak negative of my wife, that doesn't go. I'm going to defend what's mine, okay? I'm the only one who can say things to her like that. You can't. But that's what a strong man will do. I'm going to respect and honor her, and I require it of everybody else. That's what a strong man does. God came to me, and he said, son, I need you to do two things. First thing was mature. You need to mature. I need you mature now. No more kid stuff. So I don't know when God tells me stuff. Like, I don't know what I think originally when he first says something, you know. Oh, sure, yeah, I got that. I need your love. I got that. You know, so he comes to me and said, I need you to be mature. So I'm like, okay, no problem, you know. But I didn't understand what he was asking me for. Like, what he was telling, he wasn't asking me. He said, you need to be this. I need you to be this. That was the direct, oh, okay. So I said, okay, I want to be that too. So the next time me and my wife are talking and I'm offended, he's like, that's not mature. That's not being mature. If you were mature, that wouldn't bother you because it really holds no relevance on anything at all. Nothing's going to change. Nothing's happening because she said that. Not a thing. Why are you offended? I don't know. Well, get over it. Be mature. And that was it. And he walked just like if he just walked away, he just walked away and was doing whatever he was doing. Next time, you know, she says something, I get upset. And he's like, that's not maturity. You said you wanted to be mature. Okay? This is the best example I can give. I have three children, okay? So if my son, who I love the most, well, not the most, but I love my son, okay? If he comes to me and says, Daddy, I want to play PlayStation, all right? Well, the requirements of that are you got to do your homework, okay? And let's say clean your room, all right? So maturity is going to make sure he's got his homework done and his room's clean before he can play the game. Now, I'm saying you're 7 years old. I'm giving you the responsibility to take care of your chores, and then you can have fun with the game. It's responsible. You're seven now, okay? Okay, Daddy, I get it, all right? So I come home, and his homework's not done. His room isn't clean, but he's playing PlayStation, okay? I'm like, okay, now, you have the responsibility to do these things. Because you did not do this, what do I have to do? Okay, Dad, you have to discipline me. Okay, do you understand that? Yes. All right, do you take responsibility for your actions? Well, what are you going to do? You know, it's like, that's not part of it. Being spiritually mature is to say, okay, you gave me responsibility, and I missed it. I'm going to take whatever I have to take because I missed it, I'm going to take, but I'm also going to fix what I did wrong. So, in my case, with my wife, the responsibility I had of maturity was to say, what is really valued of importance and what is not, okay? Is our relationship, progression, communication important, or is me being right important? Because they ain't the same thing, all right? It's just really not. I had to pick. It's like, well, our relationship's more important. The growth of our communication is more important than me being right. I said, okay. And then something started to happen. She's actually got a nice sense of humor. Didn't really see that before. When I stopped trying to be right all the time, I was like, okay, you know, okay, letting things go. I'm like, wow, you are kind of funny. Before, I always told her, like, hey, you're not funny. Your jokes are horrible, so don't make them. They're just not funny. But it wasn't a her problem, it was me problem. And something that simple, that insignificant, but to me was a big deal, was taking away some life that we could share because I wasn't being mature about things, you know? So the last thing God brought to my attention was integrity. Okay. This, he gave this to me every single day for like 2 weeks. And I did not write it down because by this time I'm kind of catching on. God says I want you to do something. It's going to cost me something. Okay? it's really going to cost me something. In the end, is it worth it? Yes. Okay. But this one that he was asking of me, I was unsure what it meant, to be honest with you. I didn't really understand the value of what this meant. Maturity, obviously. Like, being mature, okay. Yes. Did I understand what it was going to cost me? No. Was it worth it? Yes. And he's obviously still working on that. The love factor. Yes, I love my wife. Okay, so let's break it down like this. I, as a human man, love my human wife. Okay, I love how she looks. I asked God, I want her to look like this. He gave it to me. So I love my wife. Okay, now spiritually, I was immature to ask God what I wanted in my wife. That's my fault. Didn't ask him for it. Okay, so then, you know, I go to God. God, I'm struggling with all these things. Like, really, you didn't ask me for anything. You said I wanted to look like this, and I gave it to you. You know, so God taught me about that. I want a virtuous woman. Then he taught me about maturity. What is maturity? You know, letting things go that really don't matter and upholding what does. That's maturity. Okay? All right. Now, this next thing, integrity. Integrity is it's a lonely road. I'm just going to say it like that. All right. Very lonely road. And literally how he presented it to me, he said, integrity is lonely. When God gives me a song or a poem, he gives me the first, like, a word or two. And he said, "Ben, integrity is lonely." That's all I said for, like, 2 weeks. I'm not making this up. Ben, integrity is lonely. Ben, integrity is lonely. I knew he wanted me to write this. I've walked with him long enough to know he wants me to write this down. Just didn't want to, because if I write it, you gotta understand something about me. I love writing poetry and songs. If I write a poem, I'm responsible for the content. Not in delivery, in action. Okay? That's God calling me out. Alright? So I know once I wrote this down, I was gonna be responsible for the content. Okay? The best measure for me as of right now, until God changes it, by maturity, love, integrity, is how's my relationship? With him first, and then my wife second. Okay? My kids adore me. They don't care. I'm daddy. To her, you know, depends on the day, you know? Let's be honest about it. So, integrity. Wisdom. Are they separate things? Is integrity and wisdom two different things? I was unsure. God gave me this integrity, and then he introduced me to wisdom. I started seeking wisdom from God because I wanted to always know how to respond to my wife. Okay, I know my measuring stick in life has a lot to do with my marriage. And I say that because I'm unaffected a lot of times by everybody else. Like, I really, if somebody's mad, they're just mad. Like, okay, don't talk to me, or I'll see you later. They're going to call me before I call them, type of thing. You know, with my wife, that doesn't work like that. If she's having a bad day, I'm having a bad day. You know, I won't admit it. If something's not right with her, it's not right with me. And for long times, I would try to fix everything that was wrong, and that's not the way to go either. But it's a whole other story. So, integrity and wisdom. What is, are they the same thing? I learned that like this. So wisdom, the Bible says, okay, let's see what the Bible says first. The Bible says that in Job, oh, I think it's 26. I don't know exactly where. I think it's 20, around 20 or 26. Job says, where can wisdom be found? It's more precious than gold and silver. You're digging around, you're not going to find it. And he goes a whole long list of where you can't find it and how much it's worth. Okay? So I knew that I was lacking wisdom, but I didn't want wisdom as, wisdom and knowledge aren't the same thing, okay? What I know is not the same thing as wisdom, right? Wisdom is knowing in a situation, here's my situation, what do I do next? How do I respond? What do I respond with? What words do I say? Do I say any words at all? Wisdom is going to God, taking what he tells you and putting into action in the framework in which he gives it to you, okay? So, integrity, best way to describe it is like, character, like a character of a man. Does this man walk with integrity? Is he above board on everything? If I go to this, okay, this is my dad. If I go to my dad, okay, his integrity is so much so that I know whatever comes out of his mouth is going to be truth. I don't have to question it, okay? Now, this doesn't mean I'm going to like what he's going to tell me, but he's always going to shoot me straight, period. Don't have to question it. He's proven himself to me, my 36 years of being alive, that when he speaks, he's going to speak the truth, period, okay? He holds himself with how he acts, how he walks, how he talks, everything he does, everybody he deals with. He's a man of integrity, okay? I'll tell you one story, and I'll read this, and I'll be done. This is how I know how much integrity my dad has. I was 9 or 10 years old. If you heard this story before, just bear with me. 9 or 10 years old, I was with my dad. He was we were in Anchorage going to Kenai to a farm, delivering I believe it's grain, but he was pulling doubles and he had a lot of stops to make that day, and he was huffing like just do everywhere. We're busy. Well, he was busy, I was just riding with him. So we pull up to our last stop, my dad pulls in there and he gets out of the truck and this guy comes up to him. Like, I'll never forget this dude as long as I live. He was about this tall. When I was a kid, but because my dad was 5'10", so he was shorter than my dad, about shoulder height than my dad. And he comes up to my dad, and my dad's been running. He's like, "Hey, boss." My dad's like, "Hey, boss, I'm here. What do you want? Where do you want the load?" And he just starts cussing my dad out. "Yeah, you're late, Lewis. Blah, 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 blah. I'm supposed to be here this time. I got this stuff." My dad's just standing there, just a little smile on his face. I'm right here next to my dad. I'm like, "Okay, hit him. Do something. Tell him off." You know, nobody talks to my dad like this. You know, my dad's just like, "Okay." And my dad starts walking. What I didn't notice at the time is every time my dad took a step, he took a step. My dad started walking. The guy was next to my dad walking. My dad would stop. He'd stop. So eventually he got done yelling and going off. And my dad's like, "Okay, boss, where do you want the load?" "I'll just put it right there," and storms off. So my dad's like, gets on. Drops the load and everything's emptying. And he's like, "Hey, you want a Coke?" I'm like, "Yeah, yeah." So we go in the shop and I'm like, "Dad." It's bothering me. Like, "Oh, Dad," I'm like, "Man, how can you let that guy talk to you like that, Dad?" I'm like, "Come on, man." He's like, laughing. He's like, "Son, sometimes you gotta be like a duck and let things roll off your back." He's like, "He's still paying me. That's what matters. We getting paid. He can yell all he wants. He gonna pay us." Sure enough, came back in, check. Like nothing happened, and me and Dad walked out. "Here, you're gone." I was like, "Man," and to this day, I've never forgotten that. I was like, "Man, that's integrity." Dad did not let this issue of this man affect him, right? So as a young kid, that was the bar that I had, all right? So this is, God started speaking to me about integrity. This is what he gave me, okay? So up until this time, God, like I say, he's talking to me about maturity. He's talking to me about love, about repentance, all right? Last thing. All right, here we go. Integrity is lonely. Integrity is lonely, brushed aside as if you could know me or own me. Born but never created slowly. Its gift is unknown to the phony. It breathes life but not known by worldly thrones or self-crowned cronies. It measures wisdom by the way which understanding has grown. Never walking alone, for truth is taught but not by means of its own. Or texting social media gossip found in a phone. The one who finds it is changed from the inside, starting with the marrow in his bones. The cost is formidable, which is why very few will ever choose to die. Love is livable if one's gaze never leaves the sky. A righteous life is winnable, but the task cannot be achieved by you or I. The answer, biblical, for the one chosen already is resurrected and rose on a cloud in the sky. Beauty is beautiful, but true beauty is unseen by the ones the earth describes. So now what's believable? Intact is every prophecy given to this guy. My answer, responsible, for God chose me to stand against the lie. In this, I'm creator capable, for created unmistakable is every heartbeat that never sleeps while my feet search for wisdom's seat, so I too can live and never die. Integrity is lonely, but I'm wide awake as it calls me homie. So God gave me that. And then he told me to look up. Look up. What do you mean? He said, look up. Look up. He said, through all your prayers, all your tears, I promised you something. He said, what have I done for you? What have I done for you? He's like, you tell me what I've done for you. Outside of my house, we just recently got landscaping done. It's It's been 3 years. We just moved in. Just got enough money to do it. We had the contractor come over. Told him what we wanted. My wife was at work, and she's like, this is my vision. What's your vision? I'm like, oh, whatever. This is my vision. Long story short, when he got finished putting together the front of our house, it's something I couldn't imagine. Like it was beyond my scope of reasoning. I didn't see the finished product, nor did I have it in my mind to ask for it. My wife saw it. She was very in contact with myself and the contractor. What I didn't realize is the whole time I was working against both of them because I'm the only one that didn't see the big picture, but she had to work. So she'd call me and tell me, and I'm like, I think this is what she wants. He's like, I think I know what she wants. And I would tell her what I was thinking. She's like, that's not right. And I'm like, dude, blah, blah. So long story short, eventually I just got out of the way. But when he was done and I saw the finished product, I said, wow, something so simple, but yet I couldn't see it. How is it possible? I couldn't see this. So God asked me, what have I done? What have I done? And he said, I have the marks, beginning of a new story for you. Book you haven't read. Book you haven't written. And first chapter is the virtuous woman. It's my wife, you know. We have a small town, so everybody knows everything. And we begin to have problems, and everybody knew about it. When we decided to work our problems out, everybody knew about it. What they didn't know is how powerful God is in it. My wife, she came to work with me to eat lunch, just have lunch with me. And all my coworkers saw her there, saw us eating and laughing and joking around. So they waited until she left, and they're like, dude, that's so awesome your wife was here. You guys look like you're having fun. Like, that's sweet. Okay, cool. Then I go back to the coworker I've been talking to, and he's like, Ben, okay, whatever you guys got, I want that. Whatever you want, I got, I want that. What do I do? You really want to know? I'll tell you, but he's like, okay, man, just, okay. So, faithfully, you know, we've been hanging out, I've been talking to him, and finally, right before we came here, I've been praying hard, and he's like, okay, I did what you said, and it worked. Dude, we're going to work things out, man. Yes. And back to God said, what have I done? God took what I considered broken, what I considered pain, turned it around. Not only did he heal us and give us a new story, he used us to heal somebody else and give them one too. And to me, that's pretty awesome. You know, transformation is not just for you. It's for everybody around you, because it's going to start affecting everybody. When they see you refuse to quit and give up, it's going to change their lives too. So, you know, I thought Bona did an amazing job. Good job. And as you remember, it's in the simple things. Don't make it overcomplicated. Because the Holy Spirit told me he needed to work on me. He needed me to learn about love and learn about maturity and integrity. But when I asked him what I needed to do, he said, nothing. Let me do it. You know, you be the result of my handiwork. Cool. And when you feel that, like Bona was saying, it's going to hurt. I'm sorry, there's no way around the pain. Embrace it. Because when it first hit me, I tried to run. I tried to pretend like it wasn't there. And doing that, I wasn't opening God up to prune me, to change out the pieces in me that were broken. Because if I pretend like they're not broken, it's not going to fix them. So if the pain does come and you're going through something, embrace it. Say, God, this hurts. You know? When I start thanking God for what I didn't have, it starts popping up everywhere. Law of multiplication. That's the last thing I'm going to say, and then I'm done. There's a cool thing that Jesus did in the Bible. Before he brought Lazarus back from the dead, looked up to heaven and he said, thank you, God. I thank you not for myself, but for everybody else. When he prayed the prayer before he brought Lazarus back. Nancy was talking about when the three loaves and five fishes, or five fishes and three loaves. Anyway, for that miracle, you know what he did? He broke it, he thanked God. Then he gave it out. Okay? Before any of this ever happened, came home from work, pretty broken up, went down to pray. And usually I have a list of things that God already knows, and that's what I do. But for this day, I don't know why, I knelt down, tears in my eyes, phone is at work, kids are at school, so I can be as loud as I want. And all I did is thank God. That's what came out of my mouth. And I wasn't planning on doing it. I wasn't like, I'm going to thank God. No. I knelt down to just be before God, and I said, thank you for my wife and my front yard and for this and for that. Everything I didn't have. And then it started popping up. So I can honestly say, if you thank God for what he's promised you, you might not see it. You know, if it's job, if it's, you know, reconnecting with a significant other. I refuse to let devil take what's mine. She's mine. She's God's first, but he gave her to me. Okay? And, man, I don't go down without a fight. And God promised me if I'm in him, I ain't going to lose. Because he's not going to lose. So I fought for what's mine, and we won. And she's here speaking to you. So I just tell everybody out there, encourage all you guys, you know, especially when it comes to matters of the heart, significant others. If there's anybody out there that you're praying for or you want to reconnected with, just trust God for it. Don't quit and don't give up on him, because, you know, God says, what I've joined together, no man tear asunder. Okay? And he means it. Trust me on this. Trust me on this. And if you need uplifting, how many times Debbie Andrews called me or texted me or Marco pulled me, right? When I need it the most. God will send those to you that he knows you trust with him. Okay? He will. And so thank you for listening. And that's all I got. I'm done.